So, Congress is back for a brief lame duck session. So what better time than now to dig into what got us to where we are? Not just the mechanics of the horse race and campaign spending, but what drove the choice voters made on November 4th? With me once again in the studio is Public Religion Research Institute founding CEO, Dr. Robert P. Jones. Robbie, as always, welcome back to State of Belief Radio.
Thanks for having me back.
Were there any overarching themes in the feelings that voters brought to the polls?
This was the lowest turnout election that we have seen really since World War II. 36% of eligible voters turned out to vote. Part of what's driving that really is economic anxieties coupled with anxieties about things we were hearing about right before the election, Ebola, terrorism, and ISIS. These were things that were really on Americans' minds, not just at an abstract level, but really that many found personally unsettling. And I think the most telling number that all of this kind of runs into is that 62% of Americans said that the country is off on the wrong track. That includes nearly every demographic group that we looked at. In fact, the only two major demographic groups that weren't in majority territory were African Americans and Democrats. And even among those groups, 40% or so said the country's off on the wrong track. 12% of Americans said that they had some difficulties in voting. By and large, mostly people were saying just having difficulties getting to the polls. So that was either not knowing where to go or knowing where to go and having difficulty finding it. Or a big chunk of Americans said they knew where to go and the biggest problem was they couldn't get off work in time to get to the polls on election day.
You mentioned issues that were right at the front of people's minds going into the election that would not ordinarily be there, like Ebola and terrorism. What struck me about that was this was not just a general concern. There were high numbers of people who thought that they or their family was going to be the victim of either the disease or terrorist attack.
No, you're right. I was quite surprised by this. We asked this question intentionally in a very personal way. How worried are you that either you or someone in your family will be the victim of terrorism? Or how worried are you that you or someone in your family will be infected by Ebola? Nearly a third of Americans said that they were worried that they or someone in their family would be the victim of terrorism. Now, that's a pretty high number. It goes up to about 4 in 10 among Republicans. 61% of those who identify with the Tea Party said that they were at least somewhat worried that they or someone in their family would be the victim of terrorism.
You report voting preferences were highly demographically stratified. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we've seen in American politics is we see big, big racial divides. You can see this running through the pretty typical divides in voting. You can see it running through the religion divides. White Christians voting heavily for Republican candidates, and we see non-white and minority Christians heavily voting for the Democratic candidates and roughly the same proportions on the other side. So regardless of whether you're Catholic, whether you're Protestant, race and ethnicity are highly, highly stratifying the American electorate.
Were there any surprises this time?
You know, not so much. I mean, the patterns look really stable. In fact, we can go back about a decade at least and probably further than that. But I look really carefully over the last, you know, since the 2004 elections. And, you know, we see small adjustments here and there. But by and large, the electorate looks pretty stable in terms of its religious breakdown. And again, the big divisions are white Catholics, white mainline Protestants, white evangelical Protestants leaning toward Republican candidates, particularly white evangelical Protestants. And then you see Latino Catholics, minority Protestants, those of other religious faiths that aren't Christian, Jews leaning toward Democratic candidates, and the religiously unaffiliated leaning toward Democratic candidates. We're increasingly seeing the religion vote being bookended by two groups. Anchoring the Republican coalition is, of course, white evangelical Protestants, and in this election, they made up 36% of the Republican coalition. So still a very big force to be reckoned with, particularly in midterm elections. On the other side, we've had about 3 in 10 of the Democratic coalition made up of religiously unaffiliated voters who tend to vote heavily Democratic. So I think those two forces we should keep an eye on, you know, going forward. The real key difference between those two is that white evangelical Protestants turn out to vote at fairly high levels, and the religiously unaffiliated do not.
Robbie, this midterm election was notable for support in a number of states for what could only be called progressive issues when they were put to a vote individually. Minimum wage is a good example, while actual candidates benefited from a more conservative wave.
Well, you know, one thing I would say is that there are a few issues that I think have actually, in the minds of rank-and-file Americans, escaped the left-right divide that I've kind of called, you know, the great forgotten consensus issues. And you've named one of them, minimum wage, basically bipartisan cross-religious support for minimum wage. The other ones are things like paid sick days for employees to care for themselves or a loved one or a family member, and paid family leave, time off at the birth or adoption of a child. Those have supermajority support, majority support of Republicans, majority support of independents, majority support of Democrats. And, you know, neither party's really moving on these issues. I would say, you know, the first party to really wrap those things together into kind of a populist economic agenda could really make some advances.
Were there any significant changes in the findings of the survey when compared to past post-election reports?
Well, one that I would bring up that's related to what we just talked about, that is the minimum wage, paid sick leave questions, are white working class Americans. These are a group that historically have been a Democratic-leaning constituency that were wrapped up with union membership. Now, as union membership has declined, as whites in the South have moved to be heavily Republican, Democrats have lost their strength among white working class Americans. In fact, we look at the last few elections, the Democrats have done not so well. One of the things we see actually is that in the midterm elections, white working class Americans voted 61% for Republican candidates. Now, that's a pretty high mark. If we look back at like 2008, look at the exit polls in 2008, Obama got 45% of the white working class vote in 2008, and we're 20 points off from that in this last election. Now, some of that's about lower turnout and heavier turnout in southern states in this election, to be sure. So, you know, we may see some adjustment from that. But I think still what we're seeing is a real weakness among Democrats in what has been a traditionally Democratic-leaning constituency.
You mentioned that the national parties are not changing very much. It also sounds like the electorate is not changing very much. You've looked at this now long enough. Can you almost predict that the white evangelical community is going to turn out in great numbers and go heavily to Republican candidates?
You know, if I were a betting man, I would certainly be willing to put, you know, money on white evangelicals voting at least three-quarters Republican in any near future election. I do think the difference is this, though, at the national level. We didn't see it so much in this election, I think, because of the particularities of midterm elections. But one of the things that we have seen is that despite the fact that they turn out over the long haul because of demographic changes in the country, there actually will be fewer white evangelical Protestants in the country as a proportion of the population. Now, as long as they are turning out at higher levels than everyone else, that gets muted at the ballot box. But over time, still, what we're seeing is that demographically speaking, every 2 years, every 4 years, there will be more Latinos in the population. African Americans look like they're about stable. But the demographics of young people look very, very different than the demographics of older people. Of course, younger people aren't turning out.
Right.
But as they get older, and perhaps if we get another wave election where, like in 2008, where Obama was able to excite younger people and get them to turn out at slightly higher levels, it will make a difference.
Can we pretty much assume that Democrats are going to draw most heavily from minority groups?
Well, I think that's right, especially if they can't turn around these problems I've been talking about with white working class Americans. If there is a demographic group that's really in play and that is really important, it is white working class Americans. And I don't think either party has really figured this out. Socially moderate, they're not culture war groups for the most part. That's not who they are. They care about economic issues, not the social issues. So appealing to things like minimum wage, these kind of kitchen table economic issues is a real way in, and the opportunity is there, I think, for both parties because these issues don't necessarily play on a left or right spectrum.
It seems like the most flexible vote is in that white worker class, and that they actually look at what the candidates are saying and look at what the issues are and tend to vote more in what I would call a patriotic manner than in a partisan manner.
Yeah, you know, I think we do see them moving a little bit more with the mood of the country. You know, we did some analysis looking back, you know, a decade or more, and you do see more movement in that group. Like I said, I mean, Democrats were actually doing pretty well among this group. Even 2004, 2008, Democrats were getting mid-40s support from mm-hmm. white working class Americans overall, and actually were running pretty even with Republicans, even more even with Republicans in the Midwest. The Southern white working class is much more conservative than everyone else. But again, there's real opportunities there, and it's a group that has felt the economic challenges that we are experiencing in the country mm-hmm. more acutely than other people do. So I think they are looking less for ideological purity and more for really practical solutions. Yeah.
But I am going to ask you to generalize about what the data from this election says about the religious community in America, and particularly about hopes for healing some of the divides.
Yeah. One of the things that we also had in the survey, we've been tracking attitudes around the fairness of the criminal justice system. Particularly, we were in the field in the first survey before, during, and after the shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. And one of the things we saw there is that even going in there, there was about a 15-point gap in white and black attitudes on the fairness of the criminal justice system, with 44% of whites basically agreeing that the criminal justice system was fair, treating blacks and whites equally, far fewer African Americans thinking that. That gap post-Ferguson is now over 20 points, right? So we're now seeing basically white attitudes haven't moved, and non-white attitudes have gotten much more skeptical. So I think, you know, in terms of places where there needs to be healing, I think that is a real issue. And it's exacerbated in our partisan politics precisely because of these dynamics we've been talking about, that the Republican Party tends to be predominantly white Christians and the Democratic Party tends to be predominantly non-white Christians. And so we get these partisan divides reinforcing the racial divides, and talking across that chasm, I think, is increasingly difficult. So I think, you know, if there's work to be done, that clergy, churches, synagogues, mosques could be creating those spaces where people can talk across these yeah. partisan divides and maybe have some discussions about race in America. We've had an African-American president, but I think we still haven't had that many healthy conversations around race. And I think Ferguson has really highlighted that.
What in this election got your attention so much that it's going to be what you're looking at in the next year or so?
The differences between voters and non-voters, I think, is also a real issue for democracy in the country. You know, when you only have 36% of the country turning out to vote, and that 36% looks very different than the two-thirds who didn't vote. It's whiter, it's older, it's more educated. In Indiana, less than 30% in Indiana turn out to vote, like 28%, I think. What does it mean if you're an elected official who got elected this election cycle when only 28% of the people turned out to vote? That means that nearly three-quarters of the people in your district didn't vote for you. Right. So what does that mean for an elected official? Are they representing the 25% of the people who voted for them? Or are they representing everyone in their district? And I think that presents, you know, some real conundrums for democracy, for elected officials. Voter turnout, voter participation are going to be one of the, I think, real keys going forward, particularly as the younger generation is more diverse and is made up of people who haven't traditionally turned out to vote.
Dr. Robert P. Jones is founding CEO of the Public Religion Research Institute. The comprehensive 2014 post-election American Values Survey asking what motivated voters during the midterm elections was released this week. The results are available online at publicreligion.org. Robbie, as always, thanks for being with us again.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm happy to be here.